Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot, your post-game show. My name is Travis Helwig. I'm here with my good friend
Martinez.
No, Kirk Larson. And Vince LaRosa. Guys.
Hello, hello.
How we feeling?
Oof. Back to our old frustrating matches. We got what we asked for last time. We wanted a good old frustrating, impossible to watch game.
Can you guys stop it?
Back to
Does
us.
It was actually a very exciting game. It really was.
Vince, are we back to you? Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up with your 0-0. It was fun.
You know what I like?
It was.
Passing it to each other in their own zone, just passing it back and forth.
Welcome back to the show, Travis Helwig.
I know that you guys.
Just call Vince because I wanted you to know I had a bad time.
I know you. Look. You and like 20,000 other people show up to that stadium week in and week out and just expect a win. Just steamroll everyone. It doesn't matter.
It was an
exciting game. Look, the biggest takeaway from this, and it's something that I guess maybe I'm saying this to help temper your expectations. Like, this team is a work in progress. Absolutely. Like, you saw an SKC team that is very drilled. They know each other very well. They were able to play in and out of pressure. I mean, that's what you imagine LAFC could be, but right now it's going to take some time with how many changes they've had, how many players. I think there's still players that are waiting to come in. Yeah, my biggest thing from this is like, I wish I knew. Yeah. It's Bogart. I've got him on speed dial. He won't let me in on it. But yeah, I think honestly, it's frustrating. I get it, but I think in a lot of ways, if you're LAFC. Despite being frustrated, you have two clean sheets at home. You're probably looking at this and being like, look, this is a type of game where we didn't play our best and we played a very good team and we still managed to get a 0-0 and had chances to win the game. Like, this is one to kind of build off of. But yes, very frustrating in the moment, especially when you're there in the stadium.
Two things I'm going to say quickly before I throw it to you, Darren. One, I do think I underestimated how good Sporting Kansas City is. I know they made it pretty far in the playoffs, but that was a good team we just saw. They controlled the game in ways that was very frustrating. And two, we have a new feature we're trying out on YouTube tonight. Give it a shot if you feel like. We have super chats. And the way super chats work is if you press that little button, you can tip us like, I think, as little as a dollar, and we will make sure that we answer your questions. So if you do a super chat, no matter what, we will read what you say out loud. So if you want us to read something out loud, you can put
and actually talk about it.
And then we'll talk about it. So if there's something that you're mad that we're not reading when you comment it over and over and over again, you can do a super chat. But those are the two things I want to say. Darren, how are you feeling?
I think, as usual, you're both right. That was actually exciting to watch and very frustrating and awful. You could see, like, to Vince, to your point, like, you could see flashes of what's working and what's going to work, but none of it seemed consistent enough. I thought they had really good chemistry on offense early on, and that was exciting to see. They started getting some short passes moving. There were some little ticky-tack things, but that came and went a few times. My big happy foot is Lloris, especially ending in a 0-0 tie. I mean, he kept us in it for sure.
That one dive to the post looked as scary on TV as it did
that he
oh has, yeah it was like oh man I his thought, arms hurt oh wait one. His face almost hit the post.
Anytime a 37 year old man just stops, you worry that he may be
he is the best player on the team.
Yeah, he's so good.
Watching it, it's just wait, like right
Travis, Travis, you're telling me
I wanted to be like
a World Cup winning goalkeeper with the most World Cup games of all time is the best player on the field. That's not a bad thing. So is Giorgio.
Yes, but I was washed up as a goalie at 16. So I didn't trust. And we've been burned. We've been burned by old goalkeepers before, but I guess he's the only one that's won any World Cups, and he won, what, two?
There you go. You're selling yourself short, Travis, because goalkeepers generally mature way later. You should have given yourself more of a runway. You really, you know, you thought at 16 you had to be the best, but really.
Young age when they kissed me. Yeah.
They also said that you were burnt out at the young age. Yeah. They were done.
I just want to say something before it gets too late in and we start asking other people for their happy and sad feet. Also, if you want to call in, you're more than welcome to call in. It's our Patreon members have the link now. And you all will get it later. We haven't scored since Ilya took his braids out. And that's just something that needs to be addressed.
Very troubling. That's very troubling.
Ilya commented on our Instagram. And I just want to say to Ilya, if he's listening, we haven't scored since you took your braids out, bud. So just something to consider if you want to make a smart choice.
Just officially as a podcast, are we saying we're okay with it if he wants to go back to it? Is that what we're saying?
Okay. Yes.
I can get on board with that.
Okay, the big happy foot, I think, outside of Lloris, is Martinez came into the game and looked like unbelievable immediately.
A flash of lightning. Incredible.
Like, I'm sort of relieved that he missed that shot because that run was too good. It seemed inappropriate that he did so well so quickly.
If he made the goal, he would have had to join a different league.
Yeah, it was obscene. It was obscene.
I won't go as far as to say I was relieved that he missed it, but I will say, like, I had a hard time being disappointed that he missed it because it's like, well, there's no world where that should have happened. So I guess I'm cool with it. I'll just, like, pretend it didn't happen and we're okay.
It was
another happy, but I'll say Campos was, like, back to normal. It felt like I think enough proof that he didn't get fucked up in the head from last game.
He grew, I mean, so he grew into the game. Yeah. I think he had it rough at first with Johnny Russell, who's very difficult to deal with. And it was definitely a tactic by Sporting KC to attract the fullbacks with the wingers, Shallowy and Russell, who are goal scoring fullbacks and got to pay attention to, and then have guys like Tommy running that space in behind. And that was really working for them early on. But then Campos really grew into the game and he started taking over and stepping into the play, winning balls. If only his partner on the left side, Danny Buonga, was as sharp as he was, I think we would have
Well, first of all, Darren, is Vince breaking in and out for you as well, or just for me?
A little bit. Well, okay. It catches up. We it like speeds up what you're saying, so we catch it late.
And the Long Beach internet.
Yeah, he's coming all the way from Long Beach. It takes longer.
Is playing like a man who just got a 4-year contract tonight. It was not a good game for Danny Buonga, who hit the post again. I know it was called back offsides, but I felt validated by that a little bit.
Maybe he's trying something new. Instead of scoring goals, just hit the post. See how many posts. Do we have a record for posts hit in a season?
It's
I don't know.
We should bet on that, actually. And a lot of people in the comments are mad at Oliveira. How are we feeling about Oliveira? He's a spark up there. Yes, he missed a couple of chances, but it doesn't feel the way that like Stipe felt. And even B-Rod didn't get – I felt like B-Rod's chances were – he was forcing it. Whereas I feel like Kike is in maybe like missing his chances as opposed to forcing his chances. What do you guys think?
Yeah, for some reason, Oliveira continuing to not quite get there is starting to bug me less than it has in the past. The one thing that's bugged me a lot more this game is he had like one too many terrible crosses for me to ignore it this time. He kind of just like dinked the ball across the box. He's got no pass. There's nothing there.
But people in the comments hate Oliveira. Tim Morgan, who
I really hate
on YouTube this week, says Oliveira is Andre Horta. I challenged him to a fight. He said he would win. I believe that I'm the strongest man in Los Angeles, so I'm not worried about it. Oscar Morales says, bring back B-Rad, which is almost right.
Sure, sure. Look, I think I think the way we're describing Bawanga getting tons of chances and that being a good thing, that you want him to, he's got a lot of chances and then one's going to go in. If that is a good thing, which like any striker will tell you it is, if you were to say, what if we had a second guy who's also doing that? You would say, great, let's do it. Something's going to fall. And then it's games like this where nothing does fall and you're like, wait a second, I guess that sucks. But on balance, you want it. You want that happening.
Like, there was one thing
they both got a lot of chances.
That I was curious, Vince, when they were that those three crosses in a row where it was like too short, and then he was like, fuck it, I'll just pass.
That was at like, Tuesta, yeah.
But no, in terms of like bad crosses, that to me was like almost just like giving up. Like what was the logic there? I couldn't understand as an idiot what the hell that could have possibly been.
I mean, I don't think it was a good idea. Clearly they wanted to target the near post, and he was sending in decent balls in the near post, it just wasn't coming off. And then, yeah, I think he just got frustrated. And I think he passed it to Tillman. And I think Tillman was kind of like, wait, what are you doing? Like, you're Edward Atuesta. You can whip the ball in. You can whip the ball in like better than anybody on the team. And it's the last minute of the game. Why would we play it short? And just, I think a note on Oliveira, and I know a lot of people are going to compare him to B-Rod. Yes, the worst slander of anyone is to call him Andre Horta. But I think he contributes so much more to the game than like someone like Brian Rodriguez. It's just, yeah, it's the final product, man. And he's 21 years old. I wrote down in my notes, like, if your 50-50 chances are all falling to Oliveira, then you're not going to win the game. Like, you want it to fall to somebody else because he's just not that player yet. I think he has the physical capabilities to be that player. But yeah, it was tough to watch. But I think you still got to give him credit because like he doesn't disappear from games like those other guys do.
Yeah, I feel like Oliveira was almost, it felt like every time we tried to reach Bawanga on a pass, they knew the channels we were going to use and they stopped it. There were a couple of moments where it felt like they were going to get to Bawanga and their defense was anticipating it. And so Oliveira became the second option in certain situations. It just felt like, and Vince, you know more than us about the sport of soccer, the thing we have a podcast about, but like, Sporting Kansas City felt like they controlled the midfield for a lot of the game, or at least I didn't feel like we were in control of that game. Is that something that you would agree with or disagree with?
I would agree. Yeah, I think, I don't think it was really just the midfield per se. It was just like they were so much sharper and more confident and more precise in their possession that they were just able to control the game. They were pretty much able to do whatever they wanted to do until obviously that you get into those really tight spaces in the final third. But yeah, they really like I wrote in my notes it like 2 minutes in, I was like, oh, SKC is going to try to play through LFC's press, and it looked like LFC was pressing pretty well.
We were pressing hard at the beginning,
as they continued to do it over and over and over, and they were like, look, we're not going to play over at all, we're just going to play through you, we're confident in what we can do. I think that really wore LFC down, and that all at the same time helped SKC grow into the game, and from there they really controlled the game until I think second half LFC was better at tempo. They got Atuesta on the ball a little bit more and played the ball a little slower instead of trying to be direct. Like you said, Denny was trying to make runs off the ball instead of always being like, can you just pass it to my feet? I'll dribble the whole team. And so they changed some things up, but I agree with you, Travis.
That's his role now, Denny. Back up. Okay. Yeah. That's what Martinez does now. Thank you, Denny. We're good.
Yeah. I agree with you though. They controlled the game. That's why it was hard to watch. And again, that's a team that, like, they know what they're doing. LAFC is still putting it all together.
So Tiny Donuts 123 had a sad foot that I was going to say, which is that our backline distribution looks poor. I mean, our backline looks a little shaky to me in general, but the distribution, we just watch it go back and forth, and then we have to play through Hugo Lloris because he's good at distribution. But multiple times during this game, they actively used Hugo as the person who would distribute, which doesn't feel ideal to me. Like, I know we had Chiellini, which we were very lucky to have, but usually there's someone who can distribute out of the back that isn't your goalkeeper. That's a pretty scary thing to put on a goalkeeper, I would feel like. I don't know. The back line is the thing that is scaring me more than anything.
I thought they were good defensively. And look, we've talked about this since last season. When it wasn't Giorgio in the back line, like, they're not very good at distributing. So I don't expect them to all of a sudden become Giorgio level. Whereas Hugo is actually a very good distributor, so it's not a horrible thing. But yeah, they're not they're not there. Look, if LAFC has to live and die by the distribution of their center backs, it's going to be a long season. So I wouldn't worry about it too much as long as they continue, because Long defensively had a great game. Murray had a moment or two where he maybe overcommitted and Polito ran into the spaces, but I thought defensively they were at least sharp.
Yeah, it seems like the issue is where the midfield meets the defense. There's a lot of confusion that starts happening there.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a team that's figuring itself out. You know, you saw them trying to press really hard, but they were pressing such big distances that it was like, if one guy is a step short, and as well as SKC was playing, like, they were going to find pockets of space, and they did. LAFC got better at it, but again, you're seeing a team that is figuring itself out both with the ball and without it.
We've got a caller. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do we start saying that Denny is only good when he's got Carlos Vela next to him? Because I think we can arguably say that Denny's had a rough three games in a row. And I know we can discount the second game, but his first two games have not been the Denny we knew last year. I'm very happy that he signed long term. But without Carlos there to pull some of the weight and gravity, is the defensive focus of the other team too much on Denny?
I mean, isn't that what you would do? If you were like, hey, so they got this guy, and this guy, which one would we should shut down?
I was going to put out there not in the context of Denny. I was saving this for later, but I was going to say this was the first game where I like truly missed Vela.
Yeah.
And it felt like dangerous to say that, but yeah, that's more, you're bringing up a more specific reason why that is. I didn't have any reason.
I just want to say Al Hearns, the guy's my favorite comment of the night. Who won? I don't have Apple TV.
Let's bring on our first caller, a good old friend of the foot. Welcome back to the show, LAFC Luke.
Hey guys, I'm not driving, but I am in the car.
Okay, thank you.
Fair.
We'll take it.
Oh, that was rough. That was so rough.
Yeah.
You know, look, thank God for Hugo Lloris and coming up with a couple big saves. I was saying to my husband on our way back to the car, like, I didn't think there were any like acrobatic, like crazy saves, but he felt really solid on the back. And his y'all were just talking about his distribution. His touch when he kicks the ball, I'm just like, oh my God, that is beautiful. It's like a hot knife through butter, the way he's able to kick the ball. Now, sometimes there wasn't someone on the end of it, but for the most part, I felt like, you know, he's just been really outstanding. And for me, would be definitely be my happy foot. I just gotta say though, Matty Bogusz, I don't know about y'all think, I don't think he's a forward. He doesn't seem great up there, and he turned it over a number of times. He couldn't seem to play it through. He looked so like confused, or I couldn't figure it out.
I mean, his touches were really heavy all night. Like, everything was off with Matty, and I think maybe he went to an Oscar party last night, and he went from Hollywood's biggest night to Hollywood's middest night. I really thank you so much. Thank you for listening.
and then Travis, you get an Oscar for that joke.
You can go listen to Defenders. This isn't good.
and I gotta say my sad foot is the last touch for David Martinez on that incredible run.
Yeah.
Oh man.
He just made everyone look foolish. And then, kicking it up into row 30 or wherever that landed. Oh, man.
You know what that made me think? The prevailing feeling for me there was like, give that guy more time. Yeah. Put him in 5 minutes earlier and there's a goal.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean.
Maybe. Mine was hold the B button for less time and stick to the right.
Sure.
Yeah, look,
yeah, that would have worked.
He's super young, and it was like the biggest moment, and his eyes got super big, and he even saw Bwongo. Was like, maybe I should pass to him, but no, I'm just going to hit it because I did all the work. And look, it happens. Darren, to your point, yeah, I think he maybe now has gotten himself a couple more minutes in the next match. But keep in mind, we talked about this a lot with like Ordaz. He gets to come in the game when everyone's tired. I think when he came in, he was the first sub, right? So the entire, you know, SKC team is tired.
He didn't sub anybody.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, he gets the benefit of that. I wouldn't make too huge of, you know, just like pronouncements of, oh, he should be starting all of a sudden. But it's nice to see that there was an option off the bench. Because when you first look at the bench, you were like, what do you do here? The way that they were playing the game, I thought both teams were going to try to just play with their starting 11s.
Guys, I'm just going to point out this freaking card again and like how thin our roster is.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I mean, in John Thorington, I trust, but
yeah, this is funny. Look at how many fewer players wow. We have.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I mean, that feels like we could fill a couple of Frenchmen. There could be a couple of baguettes in there.
Interesting.
Oh, speaking of Frenchmen, well, not quite French, but Gabonese. I don't feel solid in the spill the tea that Denny Bouanga, if he wasn't a soccer player, he wants to be a hairdresser.
Is that what he said?
Really?
That's what it said in the spill the tea. Is like if he wasn't a soccer player, he would like to be a hairdresser.
Wow. So, is he the one behind all the crazy hairstyles this season?
What's
another
that?
Another very funny thing that was on the screen at one point was the following three sentences. Adios, Sammy. Sprinkle your magic through the halls of Oxford. We will miss you.
Thank you. And was that Sammy who was brought up on the screen right after?
Yeah, I think it was Sammy.
If it was, I would love for Sammy to sprinkle her magic whenever she sees me. But if not, it was everyone thought that was Sammy and gave her an applause break. The whole thing was, I mean, whoever wrote that, they got to bring him on the show. Adios, Sammy. I kept saying after every play after that. I really have so few, that's one of my happy feet is adios, Sammy. I feel like I've said most of my happy and sad feet. Vince?
Well, I've got plenty of sad feet if we're getting into it.
Yeah, go ahead, Darren. Sorry.
First, Luca, I should let you go. Do you have any parting words for us? Any parting happy feet or sad foot before you go?
I mean, my other little sort of happy foot is that there were a family of four sitting next to us who we have, you know, we have season tickets. A bunch of folks in our area we all sort of know who everyone is in our section. We've all been there since day one. And like That's this awesome. Family of four is down next to us that I've never seen before. And like I said to the dad, I assume the dad was sitting next to me, and I was like, hey, you been to LAFC before? He's like, no, it's our first game. And turns out they had driven down from Visalia for their son's 13th birthday party. And it's just so cool to like see people getting into it, coming from a completely different part of the state. Like their son plays soccer where they, you know, up in Visalia, and they just getting to experience that and be that. I just wish we had scored a goal for them, but you know, yeah. it was cool.
Good that they got to see so much incredible goal scoring.
Well, actually, I think the yeah. son refs were actually reffing this game.
Yes, I think they brought the refs.
Yeah, that's my other sad foot. That's my other sad foot. I am so tired of these scab referees. They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible.
Was it as bad on TV as it felt like in person, the refs? The fact that we couldn't get that corner at the end was...
Yeah, I think we should dedicate a whole chunk of the show at the end of the show to this.
You call it the indirect section.
Also, getting that kick in the box is fun. I forgot that could even happen. It was cool that that happened.
I mean, he got that one right, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. Luke, right, thank you for joining us. As always, come back again soon.
All right.
We got one more caller waiting as well. I'll do one extra sad foot before that, and then we'll do the caller. And I do want to talk more about the refs, because that was really egregious. I think one sad foot that we haven't talked about is Johnny Russell, I think, was a real problem for us tonight. And making fun of him on Twitter did not seem to help. I thought it would. Thought maybe it would help. He was kind of everywhere, and I don't remember. I'm just not used to like a player being that dangerous. Like, there's star players, sure, but we usually shut down the one guy you need to shut down pretty well, and he was just kind of like,
unless his name is Messi.
Sure. Yeah. There's guys that nobody's going to shut down. Exactly. We don't shut those guys down either. But
I think Johnny's actually been pretty good against LAFC. So I think, Darren, you just maybe didn't remember that, you know, absentmindedly tried to slag him and should have maybe thought better. You should have really got at Pulido, you know?
Does Pulido, he just draws fouls? Is that all he does? He just gets the ball, he's draws a foul, that. And that's his whole game?
Pretty good at that.
I mean, there also were times where I was mad at LAFC for not selling contact better. We could have gotten some fouls closer to the net if we fell down. Like, Kike did it a few times. There was one where Bwanga, I wanted him to fucking fall in the box, and he didn't do. I know that, like, it's not the most fun part of the game, but if you fall down, you get those fucking calls. Even if you could still have the ball, we're not working on open play. Maybe we should try to score in other ways.
That was one of the ref's biggest problems. He fell for like everything. Like, I mean, anyone gave any indication that there was any foul, and he was like, yeah, it's a foul. It was like absurd.
This is a good question from Jeffrey B. DeMaca. Does anyone know who Chris Green is? They show him every game almost. On the screen, it says, "Welcome back, Chris Green." And they showed a photo of him with a fish.
Oh, that was Chris Green?
I think so. There, if anyone knows who Chris
Green is. Oh, he said, I mean Eric Green.
Eric Green. but they showed a man with a fish. And I don't know why.
And it happens like every game?
Yes, and they always say, "Welcome back." I feel like it's got to be an owner's friend or like Will Ferrell's doing a joke. But like...
No.
It's weird to do a joke for 22,000 people every week. It's Tim Morgan says it's Will Ferrell's friend. Cool, Will. Great. I'm so happy to be a part of it.
It was actually Will got the biggest.
All right, we've got a caller waiting.
Go ahead.
Daniel, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys. Hope
smile. Any happy foots? Any happy foots or sad foots or comments on what we've done over so far?
Happy foot. I'm glad that we're not playing in snow this weekend. That was... I'm happy that we actually played soccer tonight. But other than that, I'm happy about Hugo Lloris. He was tremendous tonight. The back line was a little bit shaky, but I'm not personally worried. It's still early days. I think they're going to tighten up. But I'm more worried about the front. Sad, but I'm going to have to call him out. Denny Bwanga needs to be called out. His passing is just fucking atrocious. He's talented. I'm glad that he signed an extension that basically guarantees that in the short term, at least in the next couple of years, we're practically going to have more cups coming in. But dude, Danny, you got to play better than that. Your passing is ass, man. I think what Danny is lacking, and I think this team is lacking in general, we never recovered from the loss of Chicho Arango. And I think this team should specifically aim for someone that can play as a false nine in the summer transfer window. This game made me wish that we could have like someone like Antoine Griezmann, AKA he's French. Yeah, he's French. He can speak Francais, so maybe we should, but I don't know if that's really realistic. But yeah, this team needs someone that can play a false nine, that can feed Denny the ball, because Denny can't feed others the ball because he sucks at doing that. So yeah, other sad butts. The ref, you know, someone mentioned it. The ref was annoying tonight, but that's what happens when you don't, you know, pay your refs. But
sure.
Look. I'm not expecting anything big this year. I think we're going to probably finish fourth or fifth in the West, just a gut feeling. But
huge guess from Daniel here. Fourth or fifth? I'm going to hold you to that. What if we're below? Is that does it still count?
Okay. But look, we're skinning on the roster, but look,
I've never been. I just felt embarrassed, Daniel. You really fucking that hurt, man. Oh my god! Oh
man, I loved it. I loved it.
No, the foundation is really good. The foundation is really good. It's just we just need another big move or two in the transfer window. I think this is the setup year to the big year that's next year. That's my gut feeling.
Yeah, it's very obvious. I think you're right, Daniel, as almost always. And I'm sorry for interrupting you because I'm drunk. That's just something I was doing, and I'm sorry.
It's Saturday. It's Saturday night.
But I think the roster is clearly not complete. And watching the team, we don't have the oomph that we had last year. There's something missing. And I know I can't speak tactics, but I can say just from a general vibe sense, it's not coalescing in the way that it did at the beginning of last season. And some of that is we don't have to right now. Nothing matters in this league until September, but and we're not in the fucking Champions League, so who gives a shit? But we just don't have it yet, and maybe we have to coast until the summer. But I think you're right. This doesn't feel, this team can't win the MLS Cup the way it is right now.
All right. Thank you for joining us, as always.
You're always very smart, Daniel. And I say that as a talk man.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Travis.
Daniel was on one tonight, and I loved it. Come back soon.
Someone gave me this pin that says Dead Dad's Club, and so I wore it.
Well, that explains the drunk.
Yeah.
That pin goes hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That pin really does go. That's an intense pin, man.
But I appreciate it.
Yeah, how many people that like walk by you and could read the pin were then like, we're not talking to that guy today.
that's a pin that's so intense it makes you intense. We got another caller. We'll see if we can get it. I do want to get into the ref because I'm so pissed, and I usually am not. And we've got a cat on the show.
The cat is just like, can we speed this up
behind your head again? All right, Joey Onebar. We're going to attempt to bring Joey Onebar on the show, but as always, we never know how it's going to go. Can you hear us? Can we hear you? Are we looking at a planetarium? What's going on, Joey?
Joey Onebar has a camera strapped to his penis at the moment.
He's driving the space shuttle.
What are you, Joey? Say something. We're talking to you on a live show.
Oh, he just wants, he's just here to watch privately.
Oh, you're me.
Okay.
You're,
thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us, Joey. Always a treat to have you, Joey Onebar.
Oh, my goodness.
Again,
he's only got one bar. What is he going to do? He's only got one bar.
His service seemed fine. We just couldn't hear him.
sometimes, you know what? When you're Joey Onebar, sometimes you get to choose that you have one bar.
Just
that's
a business.
That's the upside.
I want to say to you guys, I feel like we should get Call Jacob to sponsor. And every time someone calls in, we're like, and on the Call Jacob line, we have...
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
If anyone wants to send an email...
A Call Jacob call. We have a Call Jacob call coming in. A Call Jacob caller. Let's talk about the ref.
Get into it.
That was so terrible. Like, that truly felt like a high school ref. Like, it was the same energy as like when the high school ref is just a kid who's kind of the same age, maybe younger than the kids playing, and they're like afraid the kids' parents are going to yell at them after the game. It was very bad. And they were like, he had no authority. He had no confidence. That I would, the one play where him being terrible went our way, where the goalie totally fucked up and didn't realize he wasn't supposed to pick up the ball. Like, I got why he picked up the ball, because the ref was so sheepish about being like, no, start back here where the actual offsides was. If I was that keeper, I wouldn't have picked up on that. Like, he barely said that that's what was going on. And then when he got the pass back, it made sense that he was confused. So it was like that was the right call, but it was still kind of the wrong call. And that was what the whole night was like. It was just, the ref was just like, kind of like, oh yeah, you thought you got fouled. Okay, here's a foul. Oh yeah. Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
But it's the most exciting play in sports, Darren. Indirect free kicks are the most exciting play in sports. So don't you ever chastise referee for giving an indirect free kick. It is the best thing that happens. And to Travis's point, it happens way too rarely. And I wish we had one per game. Like, you know what? If it's 0-0, they should give each team a chance to go like, hey, you're going to be able to put a wall here, but the team is going to get two touches to shoot from 12 yards out. Let's do this. And that should be, instead of the
indirect free kick,
like,
in the box,
PK shootout, that should be the way they decide.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say another great play in soccer is a corner kick. Those are fun too. And when extra time starts with the other team stalling for 2 minutes, then maybe give more than 10 seconds past the 3 minute minimum that you announced, and don't end it on a corner kick. Has that ever happened? I don't think I've seen that in any game in the last 3 seasons.
Choice. We won a corner kick, and you're going to call the game?
Like, and it was at 93-10.
Yeah.
And they had wasted time as well.
Yes, twice.
Look, I'm not going to say that the ref is betting on the game because I always hate when people say things.
Not making a lot.
But that ref definitely is not making enough to live on. So if I were him, I wouldn't not. Like, who cares if I can't get into the MLS Hall of Fame, Pete Rose? Who gives a shit? I'm betting on some games. Like, yeah, I don't know. The whole thing.
That was egregious.
The whole thing felt there were so many soft fouls. A lot of it because Kansas City realized that they could fall over and get
truly
a call.
Thought you said, I truly thought you said soft bowels.
So many soft bowels. Vince is so mad. Vince wants to go hang out with his wife. He's like, why do I agree to hang out with these people on a Saturday night? Roberto brings up the point. Hollingshead was up front a lot, like, and not in the way that he normally runs up. He was just sort of lingering on the front line. Is that a new strategy?
No, it was just Oliveira was so wide. LFC plays a positional game where you want to fill in areas. And if Oliveira is wide, then that means Hollingshead should be central. And no one was covering him. So why not? Like, and he can score goals.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
There's another big problem is I think one of the issues with Bouanga is that the goals all kind of banded together and they're exacting their revenge on last year's Golden Boot performance. And they've figured out a way to put some kind of force field around all of the goals.
Interesting.
And just every shot like that. I came to this conclusion when he had that header that bounced and then went over the net. And at that point, I feel like maybe it's the Nets figuring out a way to just make it impossible for him to score. So we should look into that. Cause if he's not going to score all season, that's a problem.
It's a scab net.
It's a scab net.
Pay the Nets, guys. Pay the goals.
Pay the damn Nets.
Pay the Nets so we can yell at them.
Pay the Nets.
I think this is good. Like, speaking for more than 35 minutes on a 0-0 tie, we don't need to do this. Look,
it's pretty epic.
I just feel like we could have won that game, and I don't know if it was Dolo's fault or our JT's fault. The team feels incomplete. It feels like we didn't have an off season, if that is a fair thing to say. I know that, I don't know, it's just not the LAFC I'm used to seeing. We didn't feel right, if that makes sense.
Well, they did have a shorter off season, Travis, than any other team bar Columbus.
And they're doing great.
Yeah, well, Columbus didn't change 7 starters.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
That's
when you said that the season before we seemed like we were ready to go, well, they didn't change very many players because, like you said, they were rolling right into Champions League and they were like, let's keep continuity. What you're seeing is what happens when you don't have continuity. And sometimes it's just the way that you have to redo your roster.
Continuity any season.
Winning MLS Cup and going into 2023. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I think that's a really more fair point than anyone's giving credit. It's been 3 games and one of them didn't count. We should genuinely give them some leeway to actually ease into what the fuck they're doing and who the hell they are. Like, it's going to take a few games. And like you said earlier, Travis, nothing matters until September. Split that in half, and by then they'll at least know what's going on and they'll have an identity. I would never have expected them to have an identity and to be like playing the way that they should be playing by now. So it hasn't happened yet, but it's not shocking.
And at least KC played well. Again, another one of your points, Travis, like they played well. So it's like, if they were playing really bad and this happened, then I would be a lot more upset. But again, I thought it was a good 0-0 game. I think it's something to build on. But I would say for everybody, like, maybe get used to things being a little bit kind of mishmash for the foreseeable future.
Foreseeable? Till when?
Or like the summer? When are we going to get
good? The summer?
No, I mean, they can play into it, but I would say if this is still a problem in the middle of May, then yeah, I think it's a serious problem. But that could take till the middle of May.
And right around then is when we can start offering croissants to friends.
It's beginning of March.
All right, well, I think we can leave it there. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on a Saturday night. If you enjoyed the show, please press the thumbs up button and also the subscribe button and rate us 5 stars. And join our Patreon. What else do we say at the end of the show, Darren?
Pay the damn Nets.
Pay the Nets.
Pay the Nets.
Pay the Nets.
Pay the Nets. Okay? Pay the Nets a living wage. I love you. Bye.
Brooklyn Nets?
Bye.
Bye. I love you. Goodbye.
Who hated the Nets anyways?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.